Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ring of Honor's time with AEW Dynamite finally at its end. We are here to discuss. I am one third of the Blackpool Content Club because Pete and Luke have both gotten sick. So instead, today I am joined by the lovely Sullivan Bo Brown.
Hello.
And the even lovelier Laurie Blake.
Even lovelier.
Look at that.
Never been described as such.
No.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you all very much for joining me for this very hodgepodge edition of the Blackpool Content Club podcast. We got to come up with some new faction name because I can't imagine the three of us have ever done a show together.
No, the Widnes Wide Boys.
The Widnes Wide Boys.
It's near Blackpool.
Yeah.
Geographically.
It's not as good as Blackpool.
It's not as good as Blackpool. And there's quite a fighty there.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
I've never been to Widnes, but I never would.
No, I never would. I'll never go back. I'm not allowed.
Not allowed after what
I'm not
you
allowed,
did.
Not after what I did.
Oh, Lord. What did you do?
You don't want to know.
Oh, no. We don't want to know.
Oh, no.
What the people do want to know, though, is the state of Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor has been a tumultuous subject since Tony Khan purchased the company earlier this year. There was a lot of excitement going into the relationship with AEW and Ring of Honor, but since then, it feels like it has sort of stumbled, and we have only had two Ring of Honor pay-per-views since then. Supercard of Honor, of course, the weekend of WrestleMania, and Death Before Dishonor, with Final Battle coming up this Saturday. That will be the only Ring of Honor branded show for the remainder of the year. And then looking into 2023, it will be an interesting look as to what they are planning to do. Tony Khan, just this week in the Final Battle media call, said that going forward, there is going to be a drastic decrease in Ring of Honor content on AEW Dynamite. Now, what is that exactly going to mean? We don't really know. It seems like the focus will be put back onto the AEW product itself, which has been something that a lot of us have very much been asking for this year. But Sullivan, when you think Ring of Honor in AEW, what is the first thing that comes to your mind right now?
Right now, it was a real missed opportunity, I think. I mean, for me, I think this should have always been two separate shows that have interlinking moments. They should never have been almost like on one show at the same time. It was never going to serve Ring of Honor well, never going to serve AEW well. If you separate them, then that makes much more sense to me, much more sense. And then you could have Ring of Honor champions come over and AEW champions come over onto Ring of Honor and things like that and have like special events, maybe even a special pay-per-view. Obviously, you know that you can have access to anyone in Ring of Honor because you own both companies. But I feel like this has been a real... I was so excited when I heard that Tony Khan had bought Ring of Honor, and this has been a complete missed opportunity right now. And I'm very happy for AEW that no longer is Ring of Honor going to be such a big presence on the show. But I am only happy for Ring of Honor if Ring of Honor actually does get a weekly television show in some way. Otherwise, this is not good.
That, I think, is a very important thing to consider with all this, because when Tony Khan made that announcement, there were a lot of people who were just kind of like, well, that's fun, but what what's the actual announcement? Like, you've bought it, but what are we doing with it? And it doesn't seem like there was ever really that much of an idea coming out of that with what the actual plan was going to be. And it seemed like everyone was sort of waiting for that Ring of Honor TV deal to come. And whereas it was just a matter of time with AEW initially, where they were going to land, when the start date was going to be, it still is a total question mark over Ring of Honor as to when they're going to get on TV.
Tony can't buying something without a plan for it. No, Tony.
What do you mean?
More money than sense, that boy. Play with the toys you have. Yeah. I feel like the Ring of Honor issue is literally that. In a year in which a lot of the AEW talent backstage have had all these issues with how they're booked, the amount of TV time they're getting, cramming a complete other roster in and then giving them just as much, if not more, TV time than some of your own talent is mental. Because also, I think the other thing with the Ring of Honor is it comes with its own set of championships. You've got this like multi-layered championship thing going on in AEW right now where a bunch of belts are being defended all of the time. It's very hard to tell what's important if every single person has a belt. It's very hard to be like, oh, that's a really good guy. Mm-hmm. These are the ones to watch. Like, there's not really much being... It leaves very little room, actually, to build anything that's just like a regular feud about something other than a title. And yeah, Ring of Honor has been, you know, they have had really good matches for Ring of Honor titles, but it's taking up space that really AEW needs to have its actual storylines breathe.
I think there's so many examples of that you can look to for this entire year. Like, you look at how much time was devoted to like Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe over the ROH TV title. That was a segment every single week on Dynamite. And yeah, I want to see Samoa Joe in programs, in storylines, on Dynamite every week. But that was something that just felt like a detraction from the product. And it went on for so long because they didn't have that Ring of Honor show to build to until they announced Death Before Dishonor, which was months after Supercard of Honor. It was such once the Ring of Honor brand kind of was on Dynamite, it was this presence that you couldn't quite get rid of. And it's interesting to me because you say like you had two different rosters that were kind of getting mashed together. But there are only a few instances where I really feel like there are Ring of Honor branded guys. But there are so many Ring of Honor branded championships and therefore Ring of Honor branded rivalries. And that to me was where the kind of difference lies, because the only Ring of Honor guys that I can really think of were guys like Dalton Castle's only been on a few times, but has done very well for himself. The Gates of Agony are very clearly a Ring of Honor based act. But beyond that, there's only a few here and there, like the Kingdom's kind of come in and done a few things, but otherwise hasn't been used that much. And for the most part, the ROH titles have been almost exclusively held by AEW guys. So it then becomes a question of like, well, what are they going to do with those titles when it goes into 2023, when this shift that Tony Khan is talking about is going to happen? Will those titles be featured? Will they defend those titles as just kind of like a reason to get them on TV? Or will it be more, these are AEW guys and the Ring of Honor part of their characters aren't going to be mentioned as much?
That'd be really interesting. I mean, if you have that kind of separation, that would be very strange. But it's difficult, obviously, because Ring of Honor is not going to pull in the same kind of viewership as AEW is. And do you have Ring of Honor almost become like Rampage 2, where no character development happens on it because nobody's watching, so then nobody watches it, and then even less character development happens on it? Do you have it that kind of situation where basically stories just can't progress with anyone who's in AEW? Do you have to make them entirely separate because ultimately you can't progress a story that is being watched by 100,000 people compared to close to a million, you know, on that Ring of Honor show? This is personally what I would think is probably the best thing to do. Do you treat it as like a pseudo developmental? Like, do you have it as like a place where you can bring up young guys who are learning, plus also have a few experienced guys in there, and you can have your own internal storylines in there that are untouched by AEW storylines, perhaps. Maybe that's the way that you do it.
It's so hard to do, though, with a brand like Ring of Honor that has so much prestige amongst like really hardcore wrestling fans. If you suddenly were like, this is developmental, these are like guys that, you know, we're just kind of trying them out and we're kind of bring them up, it's not going to work that same way. Because we're talking fully developmental. It's not even going to be like NXT Black and Gold era, like with, you know, people coming up from the indies to be like, this is just the pipeline to get you onto Raw and SmackDown. Ring of Honor is going to have people on there that you would view more as like beginning their career.
Yeah.
You can't suddenly just be like, oh yeah, Samoa Joe's going to Ring of Honor, because that feels like a step down for Joe now.
Yes.
Like, you know, you don't really want Ring of Honor to feel like the B show. And because they've integrated the brand so much at this moment, now that they stopped doing Ring of Honor stuff, if people just get sent to the Ring of Honor roster, it feels like a demotion from like regular AEW. Because at the moment, all the people kind of appearing on Dynamite and Rampage feel like part of the AEW roster with just a bit of Ring of Honor branding around what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, I think that it's going to be really hard to kind of craft what the Ring of Honor roster is without the, you know, without using guys like Shane Taylor who've only appeared on Ring of Honor stuff, like or Dalton Castle, for instance. But like, yeah, I don't know how Tony's gonna, that's gonna be an awkward meeting. You're gonna Ring of Honor. Everyone else, step back, you're on AEW.
I think that, because I agree with both of you, honestly, and I think that it's a difficult position they have gotten to with them having done the integration of the two rosters to now try and differentiate one from the other and make one not necessarily feel like the B show, even though it kind of has to, because Ring of Honor just as a brand is not as strong as AEW. But what I might think that I would like to see, and this, of course, is a loose idea because we don't have a weekly show to work with here. We only have like 3, maybe 4 big shows a year at the moment to really kind of keep in your mind. But I very often, while watching AEW, have said to myself, watching a match, like, yeah, this is a really fun little match, but because it's on Dynamite or it's on Rampage between two guys and one is presented as a star and the other one is not, you only get maybe 6 minutes and it's a good time, but that's all it can be. But if you put that same match on something like a Warrior Wrestling card or a PWG card or something like that, these guys would be able to go out there and have a 20-minute match and tear the house down. And that is something that you kind of have to do in front of the most hardcore fans because they're the ones that'll react to that sort of match. Something like a Darby Allin versus Anthony Green that we saw from Rampage a few weeks ago, or things like that. I think matches like that would be a really good base to put on something like a Ring of Honor show, using people that the hardcore fan base will really attach themselves to, like maybe a Konosuke Takeshita or someone like that. Someone that doesn't necessarily have the time for a real AEW storyline at the moment, but can go out there and have incredible 20-minute matches that the hardcore fans will pay a ticket to see. I think that's what Ring of Honor kind of can be, because that's what Ring of Honor always was when it was the top level promotion that it was at a certain point. The difficult part was always that you take those really talented people and then that they will then get signed by the bigger companies. You know, the Bryan Danielsons and the CM Punks and the Samoa Joes don't last around a promotion like that for very long. But it was always kind of the pipeline to get guys like that to a higher level. And there were always people replacing them. But with AEW having such a depth of roster and such a revolving door almost of people coming in, like an AR Fox, who I think could be a really good addition to like a Ring of Honor roster. I think that is where you can put the people that are not necessarily going to be used on Dynamite at this point, but you could still keep them hot by keeping them visible and giving them a chance to have great matches a lot more often than you would have otherwise.
Absolutely.
You want people to stay fresh,
yeah,
and like ring ready, right? But like, it's that same thing that Sullivan was saying. It's like, if nobody's watching that, though, that what purpose does that actually serve for AEW beyond people going out there and having great matches? You know, they get to build up this mythical video library that Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor for in the first place. Like, this is what he really wants it for, right? Like, Ring of Honor, they've done the shows and done the kind of stuff on the TV to keep the interest in it, because they're going to eventually, hopefully, sell you a streaming service in which you can just watch all of the old Ring of Honor content, because they've now got this huge library of video stuff for
I'll pay
you.
For it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that people will pay for it. That's great, but kind of all this dance that we're doing with the roster and the belts and these shows is really just to keep people's like interest long enough that they can work out how to get a weekly TV show, but mainly how to get a streaming service running for the whole of AEW and everything that Tony Khan owns in under that umbrella, and then get people to pay for it. Because, you know, it's I don't think it's realistically being built about like the final battle matches or the Death Before Dishonor matches this year. It's mostly about watching old Punk matches and Bryan Danielson matches from the past, I think.
What do you think is like the best course of action then? If this is like, if forgetting where we started at and where you might have gone with it had you bought Ring of Honor right off the bat then, with where we're at now, where you can't necessarily just say like, yeah, maybe we don't necessarily need the Ring of Honor branding and everything. Where do we go at this point?
So hard. Without immediately, he should have bought it and launched a TV show the same week. Those two things needed to coincide, I think. So it's so hard to know what to do. It's so hard to know what to do with Ring of Honor. And this is the bind that they found themselves in, because I think what they have to do is completely separate the brands at this point and just be like, Ring of Honor is almost not mentioned on AEW beyond the fact that if someone was the Ring of Honor champion, that obviously gets called out in commentary, blah, blah, blah. We build to a Forbidden Door style show once a year with AEW Ring of Honor talent crossing over. And then hopefully you get fans of AEW going over to Ring of Honor at that point and starting to watch it and pick it up a bit more. But I think there needs to be a complete distinction of the two brands. I don't know how you get that through. I don't know how you say that nicely to people who are, you know, part of AEW, because it is always going to feel like the B show now, because, you know, I just think in your mind, you know, well, Tony owns AEW and AEW gets watched by almost a million people every week. And then this thing's happening and no one's really watching. It doesn't really have a show and it doesn't really have, like, these titles are kind of meaningless. They've got like one pay-per-view, three pay-per-views a year. It's really hard to be like, we're going to send you to Ring of Honor. Like, at least some people have just been kept back as Ring of Honor guys. And they, you know, they're going to be like the stars when this does eventually happen. I think they just need to get TV as quickly as possible now and completely separate the two companies in people's minds and in the way that they do things on their television programs.
Do you potentially give them Rampage? Because it's not like AEW's using it.
When they launched the Ring of Honor partnership, one of my first thoughts of it was, okay, you do AEW Dynamite and you do AEW Honor instead of Rampage, just rebrand it as AEW Honor. I don't know if you couldn't just look at it, and I don't know how the TV landscape would look at that. It's like, well, AEW, even though Rampage is not doing the best viewership that it's ever done, even though you have to take that into account, the AEW branding is still what they paid for when you made that TV deal. It's a much more complicated thing, but that would seem to kill two birds with one stone, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would. I mean, like, an hour is great. I much prefer shorter wrestling weekly shows than longer ones. Maybe it's because I watched Raw this week. Who knows?
You're still watching Raw now, aren't you?
Yeah. I'll get through it eventually.
I'll get to the end.
I'm in the second half of the first hour.
Sullivan, there's so much left.
No.
An old man crawls out. I finished Raw.
I think it was all right. But yeah, like I, you know, an hour long TV show every week that just, you know, and you can, one that actually has storylines that are being continually furthered in a really interesting and great way. Because Rampage so often is just what SmackDown used to be before they, you know, actually started thinking maybe we'll make this into a proper show, where it was just it was almost like it's like main event and WWE Heat,
just some wrestling.
Yes, exactly, and that's what Rampage has become, which I'm shocked at, because I didn't think that they would do that. They have Dark and Dark Elevation, which feels like that is kind of fulfilling that role already.
Has anyone been elevated from Dark Elevation? Do we know?
Not a clue.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you can look at the people of, I don't know if it's Elevation necessarily, but you've got the people who are like the Acclaimed, who started on Dark and things like that.
Yep.
But those cases are fairly far between. Like you get the people like Willow Nightingale was on Dark before being on TV, so it does happen.
It's a test bed, but really, for people to be like, oh, do you kind of chime with actually just a video? It's an interesting kind of. It's almost like a like fully a video test of just being like, we're just going to film this match and see what it looks like on telly, and then be like, that was a good match. That will look good on Dynamite. because we're giving it the full production.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But yeah, if you gave Ring of Honor Rampage, either have Ring of Honor Rampage be the name or AEW Honor, I like either. But either way, I think that would be absolutely an easy solution out of this. The only thing is would Warner Brothers Discovery be wanting that?
Well, yeah, because it's the AEW branding, but it's also in the same way that, you know, like WWE's Fox deal hinges very much on who's appearing on what brand, and that's why like the Universal Champion will appear across multiple things, especially in that first era of going on SmackDown becoming on Fox. Like, if you suddenly rebrand it and you have and you have made two distinct rosters, you are cutting off Friday nights from Kenny, from the Bucks, from Hangman Page, like all of these characters who, you know, that's really kind of the world that Discovery would have paid for.
Yeah. It's complicated. I don't think there is like a set right answer to how you fix this solution. Again, just trying to think of like various bits, because we talked about like the developmental idea or comparing it to an NXT. I think the big thing to keep in mind there was NXT was always a money loser. Because I think that model would be very good, where you can just have this show, you film it in a small location, maybe like how they were filming Dark episodes last year at Universal Studios or whatnot, and just have it filmed in front of a small audience that are going to be really into everything and give them a lot of very good matches. And those type of good matches that will make the rounds on Twitter, get more people to check them out, because it is Takeshita and Lee Moriarty having a 25-minute match that like blows everyone's mind for that week. Like that type of performance that I think can keep people really hot. But that isn't like a smart business move, because it would be a money-losing brand the same way that NXT always was a money-losing brand.
And he spent a pretty hefty sum buying it in the first place.
Yeah, he did.
It's nuts to have bought it for so much and then, not really have used it this year beyond just sort of fluffing another program.
How much did he buy it for?
Millions and millions.
It was like over 20 million. It was like
some reports went up to 40.
Yeah,
it
was like 20 to 40.
They've never said what the actual
cost was. That's a huge amount of money.
It's like 10 times as much as Vince paid for WCW.
That's insane.
But there is a big video library.
Remember
the video library. Yeah. Remember the videos, guys.
And WCW didn't have one of them.
No, of course not. Not at all. But, I mean, to be fair, video streaming and everything is much more important now than it was 20 years ago. But still, it's mad.
Yeah, it is mad. And also, Tony Khan is so unbelievably wealthy. I'm sure 20 to 40 million doesn't really matter to
it. Dropping notion.
Yeah. But it's still quite a mad decision.
It feels like it's one of those ones that was like, you know, not to put it in terms of Elon Musk buying Twitter, but it's one of those ones that was just, I just want to do this.
Yes.
It's a new toy.
Yeah, and I think that's like, sometimes with the way that AEW is being run, it really feels like it's the fan buying it in Tony and not the businessman in Tony doing it, if you know what I mean. And I feel like Ring of Honor really felt like that. It was something that you could see the sort of palpable excitement in his face getting to announce it to everyone, being like, Billy Big Balls, I bought Ring of Honor. And everyone's like, yeah, Tony. And he's like, yeah, me. What are you going to do with it, Tony? I don't know yet. What if
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But that's the other thing as well, is like, what do you do? Like, the other thing they should definitely do with Ring of Honor, whatever happens in terms of like, let's, you know, let's presume that they will have some kind of TV. Whatever you do with them, take the booking. Tony should give the booking to someone else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, even
could have kept Cody Rhodes.
Yep. 100%.
Done that. Been like, you can book that. There you go. That's
book
for you.
It, book it all you like, because nobody's watching. But it'll be fine. Like, you know, that's fine. You can do that, and then he'll learn to become a better booker, and then actually it'll be better for in general when he, you know, maybe wants to help out more with creative on the main roster. But you know that's, he's now gone now. But yeah, like, somebody else should be taking over the booking of Ring of Honor in general. Tony's got too much on his plate. He runs an American football team. He is the director of football at Fulham Football Club, which
football.
I cannot explain how in-depth and complicated that job is in a football club. Like, basically, they run the day-to-day things of everything around that club, much more than the manager would, even. It's a ridiculous thing that he's the director of football at Fulham and also running a wrestling promotion and really running two wrestling promotions. If somebody else books that, I think it'd be way, way better. I mean, even Vince McMahon, I don't know, I presume that he didn't have actually really much of a say at all on NXT stuff. I don't really know. It's very hard to know.
Yeah. He didn't care about it.
He didn't really care about it.
He really had, Triple H, I think he'd siloed it off in his mind of like, ah, I don't deal with that.
Yeah. It was all
your stupid toy. No one cares about
it. Because it was all Triple H, really, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was like, you know, he was booking that. Even Vince McMahon, who was a power mad maniac, thought, okay, I will give up the booking for that. So yeah. Tony needs to do this.
His
too.
One delegation
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
Like, and I bet he regretted it.
Yeah.
As soon as he let it go, he was like, oh. That doesn't feel right.
Oh, but he's not doing it the way I would do it. Let's change all this. Carrying Cross.
People like it.
I wouldn't be able to do like one of the three jobs that Tony Khan does and also sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does three of them.
No, I know.
But yeah, I mean,
cocaine.
Yes. I think you have made a very good point there. I don't know at this point who you could make that delegation to. I mean, I don't think Delirious is doing anything at the moment. He was the former Ring of Honor booker, and sure, maybe Ring of Honor wasn't gauging the most interest underneath his booking by the end, but it's someone who knows the job and can kind of do things with direction from somebody. But I think Tony Khan absolutely must delegate that area of his booking to somebody else, because we saw it this year. We saw that the booking did suffer, and part of that is obviously due to a lot of things that AEW had going against it, whether that be personnel leaving or getting injured or biting people or saving dogs or whatever the story was. There was a lot of things playing against Tony Khan, but having to manage like twice as many championships at once. We saw how long it took them to introduce the AEW championships over the last 3-4 years. It was you started off with one, the AEW world title, and then you start adding in, well, we're going to get the women's title next on Dynamite, then the tag titles, and that was it for a while. And then you added in the fourth one of the TNT championship, and then that was it. That was it for a long, long, long time. And then you think, okay, we get another women's belt. That's five. And then you leave it at five. And then not only did he add in twice as many titles as that with the Ring of Honor championships, but they then said, all right, All Atlantic title and the Trios titles. And there's an FTW belt that sometimes matters and sometimes doesn't. And this isn't going to be the Ollie Davis rant about belts. But it just goes to show that all of a sudden it was very well managed how many plates were spinning on AEW programming. And then all at once, and some of it coincided with the Ring of Honor purchase and some of it didn't, but all of a sudden they went from like five plates spinning to like 15 plates spinning all at once. And you just got to take some of that and give that responsibility to somebody else.
Well, I think the thing about that's the like to pick up the Ollie Davis rant here. The thing with belts is that they say, this is important. Like they are literally a physical symbol of you are the champion. You should be important. And as soon as there is that, there is the weight of expectation for you to feature that on your programming to tell us why it is important. If you have just less belts, you don't have as much pressure to do that because you can just go, we've got four championships. We've got tags. We've got a world champion. We've got a mid card and we've got a women's championship. And we can just work on making those four things feel incredibly important every time they're trotted out, which means they don't have to be in every match. They don't have to be involved in every single thing. But now they're at a stage where you might as well have every single thing that happens on AEW programming have a belt. Because do you know what? You've got a belt for it. Like, six people in a ring, got belts for that. Get them in there. Like, you know, and like, you know, that is obviously championships are the driving force of most wrestling storylines. But I think just giving yourself the breathing room of having less belts overall just gives you much more room to feature different talent in different places. Because, it, you know, if you are consigning yourself to the top cut of your roster every time you're doing something to make something feel important, you do miss out on a lot of other people being involved. And with Ring of Honor, I guess what they could do if they're going to splinter off now into like their own thing, is kind of replicate the success of AEW when it first started up. Like, use Jericho to bring in that, you know, that crowd of like hardcore WWE sports entertainment fans who've got this kind of legacy attachment to people like that. And then, you know, bring in, then put a few choice people in from the AEW roster who, you know, maybe don't have as much to do right now. Put Joe in there, put in a few other people like Jay Lethal and all that stuff. And then you've got this kind of roster that appeals across a broad swathe of the wrestling fandom of like really hardcore wrestling guys and people who are more into the WWE sports entertainment thing, people who've got like a kind of nostalgia attachment to certain people. Like, there is a lot of room within his roster to create a really interesting Ring of Honor main roster, essentially. And if you can pitch that and make a show that feels as big as Dynamite, but is his own separate thing, you could almost replicate the success again, because I think people would still be clamoring for another Dynamite level show. However, if you just make another Rampage, then maybe you're just going to get diminishing returns.
I think it's interesting. And I think one of the terms that we've maybe not even intentionally skirting around, but is the term brand split. You know, where you look at the WWE model where they sometimes have committed to a brand split, sometimes haven't. But what I think AEW could potentially do here is use the split of Dynamite / AEW and Ring of Honor as a way to kind of give certain talent that are AEW contracted talent, not time off, but give them a reason to be off Dynamite for a certain amount of time, but still fresh. Where you can take somebody where because, again, they've got a very deep roster at this point, and very often it just feels like too many people are left off TV for too long that you could still have them be on TV, but not need them to be featured on Dynamite without a good reason to be, a good storyline, or they're going to be featured. And I'm not saying put them like 6 months on, 6 months off, mm-hmm. anything like that. But you get certain people where you just don't have anything for them right now. You can then look at a different roster. And instead of being like, well, they don't really match up with any of the ideas we've got going on in AEW right now, maybe they match up better with something in Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can just take Miro for 3 months and put them on Ring of Honor. Yep. Or maybe you can put a Konosuke Takeshita. I keep bringing that name up because he's awesome. You put him for 3 months and put him on Ring of Honor until his spot opens up. And do that the same way with half of the women's roster half the time. You know, like put Athena, instead of doing her heel turn and everything on Dark, do it on a Ring of Honor show. Mm-hmm. And do that with various different people that just aren't featured enough because there isn't enough time. If instead of everybody fighting for that time and feeling like there is only 10 spots for 25 people, if you limit that down to 10 spots for 15 people and give the other 10 over to the other spot, then you can kind of rotate people through Dynamite a little bit more with those 15 people fighting for the 10 spots. Have them on some weeks, have them off other weeks, because again, you keep the show feeling fresh while giving those other 10 people, that other portion of your roster, something completely separate to do so they don't feel like they're cannibalizing themselves, everybody fighting for the same amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, this is why the brand split happened in WWE, is because they ultimately ended up with two rosters at the same time. Mm-hmm. And AEW, I mean, even without the purchase of Ring of Honor, pretty much had two rosters worth anyway. So, and now, as you said as well, Laurie, to sort of somewhat to bring it back to the belts as well, because you have to feature all these belts all the time, it means you're seeing the same people over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. If you keep it fresh like that, it's so much better. And I think I totally agree. Miro is a perfect example. He is someone who, there was a report, I think it was today even, was today. Saying that, yeah, he's not actually injured. He's just creative, have nothing for him.
She's mad.
Mad.
Imagine going to AEW and hearing that, and you'd be like, no, it's happening again. No.
They said it couldn't happen here. But yeah, like, you know, that it's insane that they got nothing for Miro. Do something with him, because he will be able to, even if you're like, you know, because he will come up with something. He's a very, very creative man. Mm-hmm. And like, if he wants to try something out a bit crazy, stick him on Ring of Honor, as you say, for a few months. And if it really works, then great, brilliant. You can bring that same gimmick up to the main roster and try it out there. And if it doesn't, then it's fine. It's happened on a different, it hasn't quite worked. That's fine. I think it's mad that they can't sign anything for Miro, and Ring of Honor would be a perfect place for him. I would love to see him just coming in out of absolutely nowhere and just bulldozing the whole roster of, you know, the Ring of Honor roster or whatever. Yeah. Be amazing. So cool.
I think it gives you so many more storyline opportunities too, because you look at someone like Miro, who's not going to be able to lose very often. Mm. And because he's not necessarily going to go in and beat like the Kenny Omegas and the Chris Jerichos and the top guys of AEW.
But he should.
He should.
Yep.
I would have him as a world champion at some point.
100%.
But like, because he can't do that with the way the hierarchy of the roster kind of works right now, that almost leaves him without a place on the roster, because he can only go so high without beating these people, but he's better than these people. So who can he wrestle who will kind of be on a similar level that he can beat? Whatever. If you put him in Ring of Honor, he can be a Ring of Honor world champion. Mm-hmm. You can have him just run through everybody and be a dominant world champion, but do it there. You don't have to mess with the plans that you have in place in AEW. Because, again, look at the plans in AEW right now, where it's like MJF's probably not going to lose this title for a very long time. Mm-hmm. That then limits the amount that you can do with a world title face of your program type story. But if you have another program that you can use other underutilized guys to work with, that then opens up so many more possibilities for them to work with.
Mm-hmm. And also, I guess, also if you are changing those championships around as much as they have changed some of the Ring of Honor ones around this year, it feels like that's important. I think the problem with the Ring of Honor title this year is that they've not felt important on AEW programming. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, this is just imaginary. This isn't the world title of this show. So, yeah. Like, who cares that you've won that? No, I don't.
Yep.
I don't care that you've won that. You know.
You're absolutely right.
And also, they're just, you know, and this is the thing. It's all just positioning as well. It's like they're moving the belts around to make the most attractive card for a pay-per-view that's so rarely, that's, you know, they don't have like regular pay-per-views for Ring of Honor. They've only had limited ones this year. So they're just moving the belts around in time for the show. So it goes on a poster so people buy tickets to that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, yeah, there you go, that show. And then it goes immediately back to the status quo of like, that's not important again. Mm-hmm. We'll just ping it around to get a pop on the show. And then we'll give it to this guy. And then now we'll put it on the poster again. Like, it just, they just don't feel like, you know, AEW actually really cares about them.
Yeah, like the Ring of Honor pay-per-views are happening with the same sort of frequency as an NXT TakeOver, but you don't have that weekly show to supplement that, to build the stories that are ROH specific for the big pay-per-views that give people a reason to buy them. Mm-hmm. It is just kind of like, well, what can we do to make a card that people will probably pay for? And that's why we've had Briscoes and FTR three times, which I don't think is a bad idea necessarily, but there aren't exactly other options either for a big tag match on these pay-per-views. Same thing with, like, well, they put it on Jericho, and Jericho is one of the better choices, I suppose, at the moment to be a Ring of Honor world champion, same way where he can be the 8-time world champion and everything, but not with the AEW belt, and then have him be a driving force to sell the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But again, it needs that weekly show in order to drive those storylines. So it's not just things kind of shuffling around on AEW TV in the meantime.
Well, it feels, what Ring of Honor feels like is any random regional wrestling show where you see the poster and you're like, oh, it's Mark Haskins versus this person for this belt. I know they had a belt. And then you're just like, okay, well, we'll just go. You watch it because you're just like, oh, I like those couple of people doing a thing. I have no idea what the storylines are because I'm very rarely in Hull, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it feels like to me. It's just like you've just dipped into a random show because you've seen that someone that is there that you like, and you're really only watching it because of the names on it and not because of the storylines. You're not invested in the product itself, mostly because there is no actual product here. This is like the ghost in the AEW machine. This is a story within. This is like they're sort of sneaking their storyline onto our telly screens by being like, oh yeah, we'll do this Ring of Honor thing. But it's like, you know, it's not real. It's not important. You're just glomming on like a little parasite.
It feels a little bit like NXT UK to NXT in a sense as well. Like when those champions would come onto NXT, you'd be excited because you'd be like, oh wow, Walter's here. But you wouldn't be excited because the NXT UK champion is here. You know, it might have given, you know, it was a particularly well-designed belt, I will say, but which the Ring of Honor ones are not as much. But sorry, Ring of Honor belt fans, they're not nice. they need a redesign. It would look impressive that he was a belt, but he didn't care about that belt. And in the same way that I don't know if I really care about the NXT, you know, the Ring of Honor pure championship or the tag belts or the world championship even.
Well, look at how little the crossover was though with NXT and the NXT UK belt. The NXT UK championship was pretty much the only one that made the transition. Mm. And like you got a few instances where the women's championship also came across, but you never really got the tag belts.
Mm.
All that much, like when Mustache Mountain were involved in it a little bit more because they were kind of a known quantity. But it was really with the NXT UK title about prestige of two or three people as well. Like the Ring of Honor stuff has been whipped around so much that it feels like it's kind of hard to keep track of the prestige of the title. Whereas I think with NXT did an amazing job of just being like, Walter was the champion for ages. Mm-hmm. And before that, Pete Dunne was the champion for ages. So when they turned up, they made the belt feel important because they had such tenure as the champions. Whereas the Ring of Honor stuff, it's just been like, this is just something for Jericho to do for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho could bring tenure to that belt if he holds it for ages. But I think at the way it's been presented at the moment, the belts don't feel important. They just feel like a bit of garnish to somebody else's story.
Mm.
I think he's going to lose the belt tomorrow. That or Claudio's going to have to wear a hat. I'm not quite sure. But I think we will have to wrap up this conversation pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So, Sullivan, what are kind of your closing thoughts on the state of Ring of Honor? Or what would you like from Ring of Honor in 2023?
For me, I think its own show, whether that be Rampage, because they ain't doing nothing with it, or its own show in on a smaller network, I would like more separation between the brands. I'd like it to be a big special thing when they come together for a big wrestling cuddle.
I genuinely think what they need to do is, now they're taking Ring of Honor off of AEW programming, take it off completely, leave it 6 months, take off the people that you're going to put into the Ring of Honor roster and leave them off for 6 months, and then launch the whole thing again as if it's brand new and it has no ties to AEW whatsoever. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. And then you reintegrate that 6 months down the line for a joint pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I really like the joint pay-per-view thing. And I think that is where, you know, I think the Survivor Series model that WWE went with never quite worked, because those brands had so much crossover there by the end, whereas the first year where it did work, because the brands were very much separate and they were still distinct and established, that these guys are on Raw, these guys are on SmackDown. If you do have a sizable amount of time here to really establish these are the AEW guys and these are the Ring of Honor guys, again, it's difficult because you'd think you'd want the ROH guys to be people like a Bryan Danielson, but you're not going to take him off of Dynamite because he's one of the best things about AEW and things like that. You got to work with it a little bit. But I think if you clearly define both sides of that coin and then build it up and have those storylines be separate and only have the crossover happen once a year, I think that is a fantastic little idea. Mm-hmm. And whether they can figure out a way to make Ring of Honor make money, I do not know. I do not envy them for it, because that sounds like a very difficult task. Yeah. But let us know what you think ROH should be under the AEW umbrella. What should Tony Khan do with that property? What would you book in 2023? And what have you thought of ROH in 2022? Let us know all of that down in the comments below. And until next time, I have been one third of the Blackpool Content Club. Thank you very much for joining me, Sullivan Bo Brown.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for joining me, Laurie Blake.
Thank you.
Until next time, jam that jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.